At dawn on June 28th, the president of Honduras, Manuel Zelaya, was kidnapped from his home and led off by gunpoint in the first military coup in Central America since the end of the Cold War. The coup occurred on the same day that Hondurans were slated to vote for the first time on a consultative referendum. Zelaya said that its sole purpose was to query Hondurans about a possible constitutional change in the next elections in November, when he will no longer be in office. Several days before the poll was to occur, the Supreme Court ruled it illegal upon request by the Congress. In the following days, Zelaya, followed by hundreds of supporters, led a peaceful protest to a military base to take possession of thousands of ballots to be used in the contested poll. Since his ouster, he has attempted to return to the country. On Sunday, when his plane was slated to land, Zelaya's supporters mobilized in support of the ousted president. Soldiers opened fire on a crowd marching towards the airport. Two fatalities were registered, although more deaths were reported. I spoke to independent journalist Sandra Cuff today by phone. She's reporting from Tegucigalpa. You were at the Tonkonsen Airport in Tegucigalpa on Sunday when ousted President Zelaya's plane was set to land on Sunday. Can you describe what you saw and heard there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, every morning for the past over a week, people have been gathering in the morning at about 8 a.m., a couple hours after the military curfew was lifted, which is the reason why the protest movement isn't just continuing 24 hours a day. So on the morning of Sunday, July 5th, which is being called the Black Sunday here in Honduras, people gathered at 8 a.m. at the Pedagogical University in Tegucigalpa, which has been the site for most of the gatherings in the morning. A lot of the marches have been starting from there. And part of that is to do with, you know, there's the teachers unions that are very powerful in the country, and they're all participating in this movement. So, you know, it's normally a couple hours while people start to gather and rally there. And then because there was absolute 100% confirmation that elected president of Honduras, Manuel, a.k.a. Mel Zelaya, was flying into the country, going to attempt to fly into the international airport of Tonkonsen in Tegucigalpa, that was the destination of the march. So it was, you know, right after the military coup, there was a lot of repression and was really violent evictions of some of the protests and rallies. And that's something that's still been going on to a certain degree around the country, but less so here in Tegucigalpa, at least in the big demonstrations. And so it was a really lively, upbeat, very positive, huge march that left the National Pedagogical University. People were, you know, marching with really a lot of energy, a lot of eager anticipation for the arrival or attempted arrival of their president. And so on that day, because it was publicly known that Manuel Zelaya was going to be attempting to fly in, the Tonkonsen Airport was closed all day. There were no flights, and there were to be no aircraft other than Honduran armed forces and police aircraft in Honduran airspace. And the sort of puppet illegal coup de facto president, Micheletti, had announced that if the plane did indeed try to enter, it would be treated as a hostile aircraft. Now, it wasn't only President Manuel Zelaya who was flying in that plane, it was a Venezuelan plane. It was also the Organization of American States General Secretary Insulza, as well as other Latin American presidents and dignitaries. So that wasn't, the flight didn't actually get in until the afternoon. People marched all morning. It was a huge march, the biggest one yet. Estimates range from between just over 100,000 to about 500,000 people in the streets. From Tegucigalpa and from all over the country, people have been converging in the capital. So the soldiers and police set up a few roadblocks to try to prevent the march from actually making it to the airport. So there were a few roadblocks set up to prevent people from actually even getting to the march, those who were joining the march a bit later on, which included myself, actually. And there was a main roadblock on the major boulevard leading up to the airport entrance. So about a kilometer away from the main entrance to Tonkonsen, there were, this is a very rough estimate, maybe about 150 police, 100 soldiers or so, blocking the boulevard. And So I managed to get through one of the, around the back way with Press Pass. I work with the DominionPaper.ca and MediaCorp.ca. I managed to find some friendlier soldiers who would let me go through with my Press Pass. And eventually everybody did make it to the airport. So I was actually on the other side of the police and soldier lines because there's been relatively decent allowance for international press to be covering what's going on, despite the fact that there's been military intervention, detentions, beatings, and actually a murder of journalists in Honduras. So a bunch of us journalists who had made it through and up there, there's an amazing sort of almost bird's eye view of the march coming up the street once we heard that the march was actually managing to get to towards the airport entrance. And it's been an extremely peaceful movement. There's amazing coordination for a movement and march this big. The coordination is being carried out by Frente de Resistencia, like a front or alliance of resistance, which is mainly the National Coordination of Popular Resistance, which has been around for just over 5 years now and is basically the entire Honduran social movement. So the resistance front is the entire Honduran social movement plus some elements of church groups and political parties or current within political parties, which are not allowed to participate as political parties in the National Coordination of Popular Resistance. So there's been amazing calls for nonviolence to keep it peaceful, coming both from the coordination as well as directly from Manuel Zelaya and his cabinet in exile. And there's direct communication back and forth between the president, certain of his ministers who went into exile and have stayed loyal to him, not all of them have, and the social movement leaders who are leading this movement. So the march actually managed to get to the entrance of Tonkontin by deciding to very slowly, but in a very determined fashion, advance, pushing right up against the soldier and police lines. And at that point, they were successful. It was amazing to see the soldiers and police actually in retreat formation, rushing back up the boulevard and past the police and soldier lines blocking the main entrance as if, you know, however many 100,000 people were moving slowly but gradually and, you know, continually up the street all the way to the airport entrance.